Good morning to everyone and welcome to be part of the food sovereignty revolution. And it's great that we have so many people from different corners of the world. We have people from Mozambique, from Sri Lanka, from Brazil, from Cuba, and of course all of you from the UK, coming from Brighton, from Manchester, and from other parts of the UK. I think this is a great day to celebrate the day-to-day food sovereignty. No one day of food sovereignty, but it has to be every day of our lives to get our food back. We are going to be today launching our recent report on food sovereignty. You might have heard of it in the Financial Times with the DFID, and the government was saying, well, I don't know about that head going into the sand. So we don't know which head that person is referring to. Obviously, it's not the food sovereignty one. So we are going to, this report come after a lot of work with our partners in the south, with partners in Mozambique, in Brazil and Sri Lanka. You will have a good review of the failures of the food system and all the responsibilities that lie in the governments in the UK, for example, in Europe, and of course in the World Bank, IMF and the rest. And you will hear that, you will read then the case studies of the success of the food sovereignty as an alternative model to recover our food system. We'll hear the stories from small farmers from these three countries, but also from the UK. It's really important to acknowledge that people in the UK are also fighting for their food. I have been hearing from different parts saying we need to reclaim the land. From in Brazil, the landless movement saying we are going to take our land, and they've been taking it. There are examples of that. We're here in the UK. I was just on Saturday in a talk in Somerset, in Glastonbury, and people saying we need to reclaim our land. We are going to occupy land. That was quite encouraging. When you hear that, people in the UK saying that, it's not just in the south. This is very, very uplifting and encouraging. So this is the report, and in the end, we are explaining and calling people to demand to the UK government and to the international community that food sovereignty should be supported. That there's no more time for food security approaches where all the marketeers of the world keep running the business of hunger. We cannot allow people keep running the same business they have been running for years and years and years, and they have nearly 1 billion people. Even the UN General Secretary General Kofi Annan was saying it's nearly 1 billion people going hungry in this planet when there is enough food to feed them. So this is the report. I think it's very time and a good timing to start our fight for the food sovereignty and to reclaim our food. It's really important that we are here in Parliament as well, because we need to make it everywhere. We need to make it in the fields, we need to make it in the streets, but also here in Parliament. And it's really good that we have MPs, invited two MPs, one member of the House of Lords, Baroness Sue Miller, and from the House of Commons, MP Rob Flello. They went to Mozambique and Sri Lanka to visit our partners to have first-hand knowledge of how it is to live as a small farmer and what are the challenges that you face when you have to fight against corporations, against supermarkets, and indeed against your own government, because they are promoting what the agenda of the corporations. For our session today, we are going to have around 8 speakers. It's going to be a small rally, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy this, because it's going to be people from different angles. And the idea is that we are going to talk about food sovereignty, not as an idea, but as something that is already happening. It's already happening in the South, but it's also happening here in the UK. And that was the what we wanted to show here, and that's why the speakers that we have in the panel. We are going to have, as you see in the leaflets that we put on the table, you have the principles of food sovereignty. Let's don't get caught up in the number 6, 7, but there are 7, because this is how it was presented by La Via Campesina in the first forum back in 1996, and then in Mali in 2007. So this is really important to keep in mind those principles. Those principles were also confirmed by the 400 people that attended in the Millennium Europe Forum in Vienna in this August. We, as a UK delegation, participated in that forum, As I said, 400 people were there confirming those principles. 400 people coming from 34 countries, speaking in too many languages that I don't remember now, I can't remember now, but anyways, with 34 countries, and it was a really, really uplifting forum that I hope we can replicate here in the UK. So without more ado, I'm going to introduce you with the speakers. We will have Luis Mushanga, who's coming from Mozambique, and is the national coordinator of the National Peasant Union of Mozambique. So, Luis, over to you. Luis is going to speak in Portuguese. He will have translation. So I hope you bear in mind that that's a little bit, it's going to be a little take of time. So, ahora para usted, Luis.
Thank you. Sorry, I speak in Portuguese, but I think we understand because we speak about food. And then the food is a basic for all people in the world. Primeiro, agradecer a todos e a todas e pela oportunidade que a ONU ontem concede-nos.
I would like to thank you all for coming and WOAN especially for this opportunity.
E sobretudo para tratar de uma questão básica para a sobrevivência na humanidade e numa casa também especial.
To talk about something that is a basic right in such a special venue.
Num lugar especial porque é exatamente nesse lugar também onde se tomam decisões diretrizes de como o mundo também deve avançar.
It's because in this kind of venues all over the world is where all the decisions about what we do with our food and our production are taken.
Então, se fosse Moçambique, consideraria indicador para alguma mudança dentro do país.
If he was in Mozambique and we were having this talk in the parliament there, he would already think that this was a sign that something is already changing.
Bem, há uma pergunta que sempre aparece quando se fala de direito humano à alimentação. E nós perguntamos, será que é problema de alimento ou é o problema de modelo de desenvolvimento?
He says that the basic question is it a problem of food or is it a problem of the model that is currently happening to produce food that is the problem?
Ou é o problema da mercantilização de direito humano à alimentação?
Or is it the problem of turning food into a commodity? Can you repeat, please?
Direito à alimentação.
Which is transforming food, a basic right, into a commodity.
Porque para um exemplo concreto de onde eu venho, Moçambique é um país com cerca de 21 milhões de habitantes.
Moçambique has 21 million in population.
70% dessa população é rural.
70% of this of our population lives in rural areas.
O que significa que numa razão aritmética, de uma conta aritmética, não estaríamos em condições de produzir para alimentarmos pelo menos a nível interno.
Which logically would mean that we are able to produce food to feed at least our own population.
Mas infelizmente isso é impossível em Moçambique.
But unfortunately that's not happening in Mozambique.
Mesmo o próprio camponês para produzir e alimentar a si mesmo durante ciclo é quase que impossível em Moçambique.
Even a peasant cannot produce the food he needs to feed himself throughout a season.
México é dos países que é considerado que como sendo país que produz três vezes em relação à sua demanda interna em termos alimentares.
Mexico produces three times more food than its population needs to feed themselves.
Mas há fome em México.
But there's still hunger in Mexico.
O que é que se passa no mundo? Essa é a pergunta que nós nos colocamos.
What is going on in the world? That's the question I ask myself.
Qual é o papel de campesinato neste modelo de desenvolvimento em que o mundo nos coloca?
What's the role of the peasant in this model that the world is currently imposing into us?
O que é que os nossos governos levam em discussão na mesa quando se trata de traçar medidas ou prioridades que os nossos países precisam?
What do our MPs and people that work for our government discuss when they are deciding what's going to be the future of our lives as peasants?
E que tipo de assuntos são tratados em círculos internacionais de tomada de decisão que levam o mundo, digamos, a uma situação justa?
And what is discussed within international organizations that decide what is going to be the agenda for food sovereignty, for food production throughout the world?
E a resposta que nós encontramos é o modelo neoliberal para o campesinato está falhado.
And the answer is the neoliberal model that is currently deciding how we produce our food has failed.
Temos crises cíclicas, cíclicas que vão acontecendo e vão dizimando o mundo.
We have crises that come and go and come and go, and they are jeopardizing our food production and our ability to decide how we want to do things.
No nosso país, o mais lógico seria, em primeiro lugar, pensarmos na produção para alimentarmos o nosso próprio país, porque temos um déficit alimentar.
For example, in our country, it would be logical to start producing food to feed ourselves first, and then if we had anything to export later, then we would do that. But
mas em detrimento de produção de alimentos, até a que devia ser usada para produzir alimentos, hoje está a produzir agrocombustíveis.
But the land that was supposed to be producing food to feed us ourselves is actually producing agrofuels instead.
Uns chamam de agro, mas de biocombustível, mas eu não chamo de biocombustível porque de vida não tem nada.
Some people call it biofuels, but I don't call it biofuels because there's nothing about life in that, so I call it agrofuels.
Porque muito pelo contrário, matam.
Yeah, because instead of life, they actually kill.
Nós não alimentamos de getrofa.
We don't feed in the plants that we produce to produce agrofuels.
Nós não alimentamos de eucalipto.
We don't eat eucalyptus.
Mas no nosso país está sendo usado uma porção de terra para a produção disso. Por que não podemos produzir alimentos em detrimento disso?
Why can't we choose to produce food instead of producing agrofuels?
Onde está a nossa agenda interna de desenvolvimento?
Where is our national agenda for food production?
Para onde é que vamos com isto?
Where are we going? Where are we heading with all these decisions?
Então, essas são as questões que discutimos e procuramos solucionar dentro da Via Campesina, onde também somos membros.
Those are the questions that we try to solve within Via Campesina and that we are also a member.
Em Moçambique já assistimos violência. Já assistimos repressão.
In Moçambique we have already seen violence, we have already seen repression.
Em fevereiro assistimos uma situação dramática que até houve mortes e a razão fundamental da revolução que houve era a questão de alimentação apenas.
In February we even had deaths related to the movement that actually recalls for our right to decide how we're going to produce our food.
Houve uma repressão policial porque a pessoa ia discutir um direito humano que é a alimentação apenas.
We had police stopping our movement, which is a movement of basic right, which is to feed ourselves.
E nós não íamos pedir ao governo para nos dar comida.
And we were not asking for the government to give us food.
O que íamos pedir são políticas públicas direcionadas a empoderar o próprio país para produzir para a sua autossuficiência.
We were asking them to allow us to have policies that actually allow us to produce our food ourselves.
Num país que eu disse que 70% da população é rural, apenas 6% do orçamento do Estado é direcionado para a agricultura. O que é isto?
In a country where 70% of the people live in rural areas, only 6% of the government bill is actually directed to the rural areas.
Então, por isso que nós colocamos e discutimos, a questão é que o modelo neoliberal falhou e a solução que nós temos é a soberania alimentar.
I conclude that the neoliberal model that is currently deciding how we produce our food has failed, and that we need food sovereignty movement to take part so we can regain the right, our rights.
Porque nós acreditamos que com políticas sustentáveis podemos desenvolver mundo sustentável.
Because we believe that with sustainable policies we can develop a sustainable world.
Onde haja justiça, haja harmonia, haja paz, haja dignidade humana sobretudo.
In a world that has justice,
social justice, participation, e que possamos ter de facto mundo justo.
And that we can have a world that is just, and that has peace, and no hunger.
E possamos viver de uma forma harmoniosa.
And that we can live in harmony.
Isso é que nós queremos, é para isso que nós lutamos, porque acreditamos de que é possível esse mundo.
And that's why we fight, because we believe this world is possible.
Obrigado.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Luis. That was really, really good. I mean, uplifting. Now we have Diane Fisher from the Garden Organic, and she's going to talk us about the Food for Life partnership.
Okay, thank you very much for being willing to listen and being here and speaking. As my colleague has said, the right to food, as we all know, the right to food is a human right. And it must follow then that the right to good quality, healthy and nutritious food for all children in the UK, regardless of their socioeconomic level, is also a human right. And this is why I really want to talk to you a little bit about an initiative that has been so successful over the last 5 years in the UK in helping people young people and communities and schools take control of their food systems and build on it. Okay, it's been found that broadly speaking, as we know, the quality of food that a child eats depends very often on the family's social and economic level. Now, in the UK, we have different problems than colleagues expressed. 1 in 4 children aged 2 to 10 are overweight or obese, and these eating habits form very, very early in life. The Food for Life partnership has been shown to address these inequalities inherent in our society by closing the gap for disadvantaged children in terms of their health and academic achievement. We're now working with over 4,200 schools in England, and after 2 years independent evaluation by the University of West England and Cardiff University, they've been shown that 28% increase in primary school children eating 5 a day, and 45% of parents report eating more vegetables. Now, I've got a few copies over there, but what I'm doing, the statistics that I'm quoting from are from our report, Food for Life Partnership, Good Food for All. And just to give you a very, very brief background, what we're doing, the Food for Life Partnership is a partnership of 4 national organisations. Garden Organic is one of them, and as some of you may know, we used to be Henry Doubleday Research Association, and we've led the country in 53 years of education and research into organic growing. The way that we work, our 4 organisations have worked in a very successful partnership for coming up to 5 years now. We work all over the country, nationally. We started out with 20 flagship schools in each of the 9 regions of England. Those schools got a lot of support from all 4 partnerships to essentially link up to educate the young people and children and parents, the community, about where the food came from, and then empower them to make choices about what they wanted to eat. So we were working in schools. My own work is often very hands-on. I'll be in a school, I'll be educating the staff, the parents, the community on organic food growing. They start a garden in the school, the children learn to grow food, they learn to cook it, they eat it. If they have excess, they sell it. In the meantime, they're making all sorts of decisions about what they want to eat, they're given choices, they get a chance to taste things. It just works. It works very, very well. Examples of proof of how it works, we've had independent evaluation, as I mentioned, by the University of West England and Cardiff University, the National Foundation for Educational Research, the New Environmental Foundation. A few bits about it. It's been proven to be effective in tackling inequality. Food for Life Partnership schools tend to be situated in areas with high areas of deprivation. In particular, almost half of the Food for Life Partnership primary schools were in wards in the top 2 quintiles for deprivation. Okay. Our interventions might be of the greatest significance in the most disadvantaged children. Children from lower social and economic groups or disadvantaged communities are particularly vulnerable to obesity and more likely to experience poor diets. Okay, there's lots of other information in there. I mean, Ofsted results have doubled. People worry about concentrating on well-being. Ofsted results have doubled. and value added. We've had the social return on investment research has found that £3 in social, economic and environmental value was created for every £1 spent. And this does not take account of the health, education or cultural benefits. So if you want to look into it more, have a look at our report. But essentially, we're a ground level national initiative working with children, their families, their schools and their communities to do exactly that, to provide, you know, to lead on food sovereignty at a very basic level, teaching our young people, involving them in their parents, their families, their communities, in growing fresh food and taking control of the food supply.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we are going to move into the third of the principles. We are going to have Ms. Leslie Lerivo.
Europe is the nexus of a global industrial system. It's a factory for processed food. It depends on systematic plunder of the global south, thereby creating food insecurity for the people who live there, and potentially food insecurity for us, because it makes our system, our food needs, dependent on that plunder. It makes us complicit in systematic crimes against both the environment and people throughout the world. It also undermines the human and natural resources that we have here in Europe. The reform of the common agricultural policy in some ways makes the problem worse, because it intensifies the cost-price squeeze, whereby farmers face declining farm gate prices, increased input costs, which they need to incur in order to increase productivity through environmentally harmful methods in order to earn a living. There are alternative proposals for reform of the CAP, proposals which have been promoted by alliances of civil society organizations, environmental organizations, the Coordination Paysan, which combines all the affiliates throughout Europe. Proposals that the CAP reforms should instead favor agroecology or less intensive agricultural methods, along with food relocalization. So I'm going to speak about that link as crucial for developing food sovereignty in Europe. Now, firstly, there has been a tendency by some farmers, especially newly arrived farmers, some of them from cities, who try to develop a kind of agriculture with less intensive methods, including agroecology. Now, probably everyone here knows organic farming feeds animals on grass rather than processed feed, often uses multi-cropping as a means to avoid pests and thereby avoid the need for pesticides. But there are many more ways in which ecological processes have been and can be incorporated into cultivation methods. These all depend upon substituting farmers' knowledge for external inputs, and thereby substituting locally available natural resources for synthetic inputs. As the main drawback, of course, these methods generally have lower productivity than the familiar with conventional methods. So farmers face a difficulty of how to gain from the value that they've added value to the environment and to the product, if they sell through supermarket chains, but it might be sold at a slightly higher price than the conventional food, but the supermarket chain is taking away most of the added value. So the solution has been, increasingly over the past decade, food relocalization, which goes by many names. In France, it's called circuit court, short food supply chains, also known as alternative agri-food networks, also known as local food systems. This goes by various names, but it all means a way by which farmers reconnect with consumers who then recognize the way that the production has added value and actively support that value through civil society networks and through paying more than they would otherwise pay, perhaps in the supermarket, for that food. Now, these systems bring back the food, bring back the value to the producer by cutting out at least some intermediaries, enabling direct sales to consumers, adding value locally through processing, widening the range of products, and raising the sale price, such as through regional branding, which is widespread throughout Europe. These systems can also increase employment because they depend upon labor-intensive and often skilled labor. There are also many environmental benefits by avoiding external inputs. Now, another problem with agroecology, as I mentioned before, is that the low productivity is not inherent in agroecology. There are ways of increasing the productivity of agroecology, but this depends upon research, which has been generally locked out of state research systems. I studied the process of trying to overcome this lockout in the European Union's framework program over the last few years, in a context where the EU had relaunched Ag Biotech as the savior of Europe under the banner of the knowledge-based bioeconomy, which really means reconceiving and redesigning all agricultural systems to produce biomass for non-food purposes, for a range of industrial products, thereby undermining food agriculture. In response, the networks around the organics industry and organics researchers launched Technology Platform Organics, which said organic methods are and should be knowledge-based bioeconomy as a way forward for Europe. They developed the concept of eco-functional intensification as an umbrella term for a range of methods that can increase productivity by using farmers' expertise and natural resources, provided that these potentials are elaborated through systematic research projects, which have now been offered. Up to already about 30 million euros in funds have been on offer in calls from the Framework Program 7. If you're interested to know more about this conflict over what is the bioeconomy, you can take away our report, What Bioeconomy for Europe. It's also available online. I think my time has run out. For the 2 o'clock session, which I have to miss because I need to leave for another meeting around noon, 2 o'clock session about research, I urge you to press the speakers to push for increased budgets for agroecological research in the UK system.
Thank you, Les. Okay.